Luke 10, starting at verse 38 to the end. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, hello, faithful remnant. Those of you with a keen eye may notice we are no longer in Philippians. We've jumped to Luke. The reason for that is, although I am very rude about it sometimes, the Anglican Church has a lovely thing called the lectionary, and that means, which is quite special, all the churches in the Church of England should, in theory, be reading from the Gospel of Luke at the moment. And it's actually rather good because it means that preachers don't get their pet topics all the time, but you have to preach on everything that's in Scripture. But having said that, welcome to one of my pet topics. I'm very blessed. I've had revival, I've had Pentecost, and I now get hanging around in the presence of God. But let's just cut all of that out. You know what I'm going to say. Seek his presence, it's worth it. Right, end of sermon. Shall we all worship? Yeah, apparently that's not acceptable. I'd like to, but... So, you've probably heard quite a few Mary and Martha sermons in your time. Sometimes it's a celebration of women's ministry. I quite like this. It's a different Mary, but this is from a gospel book from the 15th century. Mary is studying scripture. Joseph is tending the baby. Go, girls! Different Mary, but it's the same principle. Or perhaps you've heard something of Mary and Martha along the lines of, "Well, she gets a bad rap, but those Marthas, we need them, or nothing would ever, ever get done." I don't really agree with that, but we won't go down that line. But most probably what you have heard is prioritize Jesus above everything else, like Mary did. Get rid of all the distractions and sit at his feet. And that is a fantastic message. And I thought I would Martha my way into this sermon this week, in a busy week, and give you something like that. But actually, I was given this Bible this week, which is really nice. Someone just came up and said, "The Holy Spirit told me to give you my Bible." So, yay, go Holy Spirit. And I read it, and it put things in a different light. So I hope I did a bit of Mary and just spent time with him, and that we have a message out of that. But first, let's pray. Lord, in the midst of busy lives and in the rush of all the things we have on, would we do that right now? Would we sit at your feet like Mary did and take away something that you are speaking to our hearts that changes our lives forever? Amen. So here's my question. How offensive are you? Not like the sort of offense where you haven't showered for several days and you're not that nice to sit next to on the train. Nor the sort of offense where you've randomly sworn at your neighbor and that makes you a little offensive as well. Or even the sort of Christian offense that some people are very proud of. Do you know what I mean? When people have got that idea that they've got the whole Bible and they're going to judge you for the one thing you did wrong. And you can always tell when it's coming, because they get super holy. They sidle up to you and go, "Brother, may I have a word? Sister, the Lord has said." And then they will judge you for something, but they are being biblical, and you are not. So I don't mean that sort of offense. I mean a holy kind of offensiveness. because I think this passage has a lot to tell us about what offends the world, about what brings us praise, and what causes controversy. And I'm afraid that I want us as CSK to be a little bit controversial and a little bit offensive. Because here's the message that I think that I've got out of this week, and it's that we need to be more than nice. More than nice. Because if we look at our passage, we find that you get quite a lot of praise, I would imagine, in a Middle Eastern culture, as Martha. She did all the right things for her society. Did you notice that she was actually the welcomer, not Mary? She gets a tick there. And she was caught up in the household chores and the meals and the preparations. She did exactly what a lovely, nice Jewish, in this case, lady of her culture, should have been doing. A good old Proverbs 31 woman, if you know your Bible. Mary, however, caused some controversy. Now, we don't know, we're not told what the disciples thought of a woman sitting at Jesus' feet, although we can be pretty sure that at least some of them were rather horrified, as sitting at the feet of a teacher was a solely male pursuit in the first century. But we do know who she does wind up, her very own sister. "Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up and help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled? Pulled away by all these many distractions. Are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her." So even Mary's own sister, Martha, thought her devotion to this Jesus guy was a bit OTT when there were other things that you could focus on. And that's what I want to say this morning. Devotion to Jesus is offensive. Wholehearted pursuit scares people. Devotion scares people. Holiness scares people. And the name of Jesus scares people. If you ever want to try that out, then try dropping the name of Jesus into a party and see how well that gets you with some non-Christians. Jesus is the desire of the nations, but following him in wholehearted, radical pursuit is very offensive in a world that thinks that they know what Christians stand for. Nicey nice, charity rule, very tolerant, they should be anyway. That's what Christians stand for. And it doesn't actually change when you become clergy, the sort of things that people say about what the Church of England should be. Sylvia and I are good to rent out for garden parties and for a good charity event, and if you're raising money for the Rotary Club. But don't you dare mention the name of Jesus at my rather nice garden party or my ribbon opening. You can mention God on months with an R in them occasionally and give us a nice Radio 4 thought for the day. But society tells us what they think we should do and what they think we represent as priests. And I'm sure it's the same for every Christian. Society has ideas that are acceptable for you to do. So if you're serving, if you're working for charity, brilliant, that's acceptable. But could I pray for that? Because I believe that Jesus is real and Jesus changes things. I don't know about that. I know of one cathedral, which will remain nameless because I don't want to dishonour anyone, but it isn't Peterborough, so don't go writing them angry letters, that has actually said that their mission statement now is to host civic services. And that is it. That devastates me, and it should devastate you too. That's not what Jesus died for, so that we could do something with a slightly better pointy roof than the average civic ceremony. He died for the whole world and for us to bring about the truth that's in here to every other person. So we have to have the name of Jesus on our lips, and we have to be fully devoted to him, even when that's not really what society thinks is acceptable of the Christian. No, no, don't want you to be one of those churches. Just stick to the good deeds, please. That will suit us lovely. Let's not be like that as a church at CSK. Here's a way I think that we can split it up, but also hold it together in unity. Thanks to the wonders of the English language, these all rhyme. Prayer, care, and dare. Now, before anyone gets massively offended in a bad way, what I am not doing is separating ministries into charity things and Jesus things, or separating it into church ministry and your working life. That is the exact opposite of what I'm saying. I'm saying it's about a whole lifestyle, a whole lifestyle wherever you are that flows out of being at the feet of Jesus. It's often been said that you become what you behold. You become what you behold. The more you behold him, the more you become like him in every area of life. So let's imagine that this is us as an individual, this graph, prayer, care, and dare, or us indeed as a church. It doesn't really matter. If we missed out prayer, we might be pretty caring, even pretty daring. We might have some wonderful pioneer projects that would take us to many places. We might even have affirmation in the community. But would we be right in the middle of God's heart? Or would we have just put on a rather nice, basically non-Christian NGO and sorted stuff out? Or if we missed out care, and I have seen ministries like this, they're very prayerful and they're very daring, but they've forgotten the main rule that Jesus said that the reason the world will know you is because of how much you love each other, including those not like you. And some ministries go down in flames because they've forgotten to love. But what about losing the dare? And I think if I'm honest, and by the way, I'm always preaching to myself here, there's always more that we all need to learn. I think most frequently I miss out the dare. I'm okay at the prayer, could be better. I'm okay at the care, could be better. But that element of dare, of stepping out and doing the radical thing, not just the acceptable thing in the world's eyes, is one that I think Jesus is calling us to as a church, to take more risks, to dare to put his name where other ministries never could because they don't have Jesus in the middle of them. Because we are not an NGO. We are Jesus' church. And so let me use Food Bank as an example. It was set up here because of Jesus people, because of people who loved Jesus and wanted to serve the poor. And it's often said in certain newspapers, oh, if only these Christians would stop bothering Sky Father and work more with the poor, wouldn't the world be a better place? And I want to scream no. Because find me the person who is fully in love with the Father and fully in pursuit of him who does not then love the poor more and more perfectly. So that's why it was set up. And now we care amazingly every single week for more and more families. But they also dare, and I could not be more proud of them, to pray, to bring the name of Jesus into situations because he changes lives. So that's what I mean about it all being one. It's not about I have this ministry that is more holy than this one. It's about where is Jesus calling you to dare in all aspects of your life. And so to finish, the Christian life is about signing your name at the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and letting God fill in all the terms and the conditions, the things that you might do, the things that he's got for you, all of the words, and you just say, yes, 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 and you sign your name on the bottom of it. But that is an incredibly scary and risky thing to do. But it's what we're all called to, not just up the front people. Every single Christian is called to sign their name at the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and let God put in what he has for your life. And something I've been thinking about recently is that if we are getting universal praise from everyone in our lives, we're doing it wrong, actually. And that's a scary thing, to step out and take that risk, because some people aren't going to like the fact that you're one of those Christians that actually believe stuff and get your Jesus away from me, please. But that is part of the contract. It's not about how much faith you have. It's about obedience. And I'm learning this too, so don't think it's you and me. It's us together. But let's, as a church, learn the riskiness of faith. Because it might get you condemnation, even from your own family. But it is the Christian life. And where's the good news in all of this? Well, my friend actually painted this picture this week on the bottom of a bowl. She's very arty and into icons, and I couldn't do it to save my life. But I love this picture because there's Mary up at the top near Jesus, and there's Martha back in the circle, putting her gift and her offering in exactly the right place. She's stopped with all her tasks. She's just bought a simple meal and stuck it in front of Jesus, and she's sitting with him too. So that is the good news. The good news is that even if we are Marthas, and we're all Marthas at times. I'm a Martha, you're a Martha, we're all Marthas at times. That Jesus wants Marthas in his circle just as much as Mary's who got it instantly. But there she is. And there we are, putting our little gift, our little offering, our little volunteer ministry, our little area of service, and indeed our whole lives, with that blank sheet of paper on the table and sitting with Jesus. That is radical Christianity. That is risky Christianity. That is scary Christianity. But a Christianity without it has zero hope to offer the world. So the message today is be offensive, but in a holy way. Being an idiot is not a spiritual gift. Please don't get me wrong. But be so close to him that you know when he's calling you to take risks and then have the obedience, whatever your level of faith, to do that. And from personal experience, I will tell you that following the one is always, always worth it. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the desire of the nations. And we apologize and turn away from those times when we have forgotten that and just got swept up with the things that the world thinks Christians do. Because, Lord, we want to be radically marked out for you and your kingdom and your glory. So, Lord, would you help us to both sit at your feet, but also take what you've shown us out into the world with confidence and with boldness. And Lord, I pray for lives in this place that are so holy that they cause others to wonder. that they've given up time and money and better opportunities to serve you. Lord, would we be known as a people in Hampton and in this area? Who are the people to go to when everything else fails? Because Jesus, you are the one that restores and brings back to life. So Lord, I pray that you would give all of us the ability to be people of prayer and people who care, but also people who dare. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.